You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlowe FM.
Indeed, this is the Hearing Health Hour, and we're talking about all things to do with hearing. And I've got a special guest in the studio today. It's Vicky Sodra from Help in Hearing here in Marlowe. Good morning, Vicky.
Hi there, Chris.
How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Welcome to be the first guest on our first ever Hearing Health Hour.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to get my H's sorted out. Hearing Health Hour. I mean, I have had problems with my hearing, which is one of the reasons why I was so keen to have a Hearing Health Hour. But you've chosen hearing as a profession, something that you want to do all the time. But you're an audiologist. So what, start off with, what is an audiologist?
So an audiologist is a person that's here for your hearing and ear care, so we're specialists. What we do is we investigate hearing losses, we test them, diagnose them, and we can find the right sort of plan for you and your hearing. Aside from that, we also sort of can do earwax removal as well, so we are specialised in that now too.
So you can both diagnose any hearing problems,
yes,
and propose a solution, for example, in the earwax removal?
Yeah. Yes.
Right, and is it something that is widely available on the NHS, or is it something that's normally offered privately?
So it's either or, really. I actually have worked 8 years in the NHS as an audiologist. So yes, you can go via the NHS and go private as well for your hearing.
Brilliant. It's a fascinating field, but I would be interested, because I know I have my own hearing problems, but why did you choose to be an audiologist? What was it that attracted you to this particular field?
So to start with, I always knew I wanted to work in healthcare. And then what interested me was my mum. So she was actually diagnosed with a hearing loss quite early, at 30 years old. Wow. No known cause.
That is young, isn't it?
It's very young for a loss of her sort of the calibre.
Yeah.
So I used to attend her appointments with her, and then just seeing sort of firsthand her frustration, the isolation, you know, her not wanting to attend events, and how the hearing aid sort of changed her, I just knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help people sort of change and, you know, do as much as I can.
And babe, I suppose it's two things, isn't it? One is to cope with the hearing loss, and to improve it, and also help people operate their lives within that, so
yes,
so that perhaps they don't notice it so much, find ways around it, as well as trying to solve the problem itself. It's also a little bit of improving attitudes as well, isn't it?
It is, 100%, yes.
Right. And do you enjoy both sides of that as well, both helping people find ways around it, as well as actually treating the actual underlying issue?
I really do. I find that's the most rewarding part of the job, is sort of assisting with the diagnosis, and then when people actually accept it, because it's something that, you know, because it happens so slowly, you're not aware of it.
Yeah.
So when people actually think, oh my God, like the hearing aids actually have helped me in these situations, that obviously makes me feel great that I'm helping that.
Right, I can well imagine that. We mentioned hearing aids. I don't have hearing aids, but I probably should. but we'll start talking about that after our next piece of
Perfect.
Music. Thank you. Well, you're listening to the Hearing Health Hour here on Good Morning Marlowe on Marlowe FM with my guest, Vicky Sodra, who is from Help in Hearing here in Marlowe. And we're talking about all aspects of audiology and things like that. We'd love your calls or questions, anything you have on your mind about your own hearing, or maybe hearing of someone who is close to you. We'd love to hear from you. I mean, one of the things that I suspect audiologists do, I think you can perhaps tell me about this one, is prescribe hearing aids for people. We kind of touched on hearing aids a couple of minutes ago. My mum used to wear a hearing aid, and it was a huge, big thing about the size of a cigarette packet that she wore stuck on her chest. I mean, I am talking 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Do people happy wear them, or is there a bit of a stigma about wearing hearing aids?
Well, I think there's less of a stigma on hearing aids now. There come sort of, you know, you get invisible hearing aids and all sorts of like shapes and sizes. But I still think we have a problem with accepting a hearing loss.
Right.
Yeah, so obviously I feel if you have a problem with your eyesight, you know, it affects you. It's quite obvious that, you know, I can't see this. But hearing loss creeps on so slowly, people are just unaware of the extent of loss. Whereas if you have like arthritis or hip problems, then you do sort of get that checked quite quickly. Whereas hearing loss does come up really slow. So, yeah, it's just accepting that really is an issue still, I think.
So, I mean, how do people notice they have a hearing loss? Is it just they suddenly realise they're missing things that people are saying, or they can't hear certain things?
Well, it depends on, obviously, the type of hearing loss that the person has. But right. if you're talking about sort of age-related hearing loss, which is what we see most of the time, you won't be able to notice it until you're sort of in a group situation, or you're eating in a restaurant and there's a lot of the background sound, and you think, well, I can hear parts of what that person's saying, but not the whole sentence, because age-related hearing loss is, you know, your higher frequencies.
Yeah.
They are what slowly start to sort of deteriorate, so your speech sounds, like your shh sounds, become less obvious to you in speech. So that's what
right,
it is.
Right. I mean, I certainly, for my own, I noticed it more than... Well, I noticed it, interestingly, during COVID, when people were wearing masks.
Yes.
I hadn't realised to what extent I was lip-reading to help
yes.
me... To help me understand, or to help me hear what people were saying. And wearing a mask, and I was suddenly chatting to somebody, looking straight at them where they've got a mask on, and I couldn't hear what they were saying, and it wasn't the mask that was causing the problems. It, mm-hmm. it was the fact that I couldn't see it. The mask wasn't muffling their sounds.
No, yeah.
But the mask was preventing me seeing their lips move, which mm-hmm. meant I had difficulty doing that. And I mean, is that something that you've come across the world? Has anybody
100%.
Anybody else ever mentioned that as a particular example?
A lot of people have mentioned that. They're basically using their eyes to hear, is what
right,
we say.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So that's another way sort of to accept as well that you may need your hearing checked. If you can't see the person
right.
and you're not hearing them very clearly, then yeah.
So what does a hearing check consist of?
So what we will do is obviously take a little history of your ears and your health. We will then have a look in your ears and also let you see it with a little camera attached to our screen, so you can have a look what I'm looking at.
Wow.
We'll then do a little hearing test, some speech tests, sort of why we do extra speech testing here at Helping Hearing is obviously because we'd like to see sort of how well you're actually hearing speech
right.
in background sound. So it's sort of an additional diagnostic test, really. And then we will talk to you about your results and what we have found, and then try and find the sort of right treatment for you and your right. hearing.
I mean, I often find what I call myself the cocktail party problem.
Yeah.
You know that term?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that if you're in a group of people in a lot of loud hubbub.
Background noise, yeah.
Which is for me isn't usually a cocktail party, it's usually a country pub somewhere. But, but when there's a lot of background noise, it's something quite hard for me to pick out what people are saying. And that's something, as well as the high frequencies as well. Are they two distinct problems, or are they the same problem?
They're usually sort of the same problem, as in the reason that people are struggling in the background sound is because speech clarity is high frequencies. And if the high frequencies are now deteriorating with age,
yeah.
the clarity in your background sound won't be as good as it used to be.
Right, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So we were talking minutes or two ago about hearing aids,
mm-hmm.
and I mentioned that my mum used to have a very old-fashioned one. I mean, they've improved, haven't they? But how have the latest models of hearing aids improved? I'm sure they've moved on several generations.
They have.
Since my mum's old chest-mounted thing. So how have they improved?
So obviously, in terms of the appearance, you can now obviously get the invisible hearing aids, and they're a lot smaller than they used to be. But apart from that, even the technology is amazing now. So a lot of people sort of struggle like yourself in the background sound. Now, the newer hearing aids can actually distinguish unwanted sounds, and they can reduce them for you themselves. So they're automatic. So they're pretty good. And obviously, you can connect them to mobile phones, to your iPads, take telephone calls through them. You name it, you can do it. Your heart rate, everything.
Right. I guess the latest ones are rechargeable as well?
Yes, they are rechargeable as well.
I'll never forget my mum fiddling with the tiny little batteries that she couldn't do. So those days are gone.
Those days are gone. I mean, there's still an option to have the battery operated for those that do prefer.
Right.
But the rechargeable are game changers, really, because you literally like AirPods, pop them in a little pot and they charge overnight for you.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah.
And I guess from what you were saying before, they can now be selective as to which frequencies they boost or which type of sounds they promote?
Well, yeah, so they will sort of, you know, improve your hearing loss. So we will it will enhance the tones that you're not hearing, but they're a lot more specific now, so they can reduce unwanted sounds, they can improve clarity in background sound, so that's where they've improved quite a lot now.
Brilliant, brilliant. Figure, it's fascinating stuff. Dear listeners, if you have any questions at all relating to your hearing or somebody you know, please get in touch. Probably the easiest way is to send us an email, studio@marlowfm.co.uk.
You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlow FM.
And if you've got any questions about hearing health, get in touch, which John has. I have an email here from John. And his question for my guest, Vicky, is how would he know if he had excess earwax? So John's asking, how would he know if he had excess earwax? Is it something he can detect himself, or would he have to come to an audiologist?
Well, he would need to see an audiologist to have a look into his ear, but he would be able to detect it himself if sort of his ears feel slightly blocked, any sort of earache or itchiness in the ears, or if he feels that it is affecting his hearing, then yes, I would just say to get an appointment booked with an audiologist for us to have a quick check inside his ears for him.
That's brilliant. I hope that helps, John. So get yourself to an audiologist if you're concerned about the amount of earwax that you have. Right, we were talking about life as an audiologist. What's the most satisfying thing about your job? What do you enjoy most?
I think from the beginning, I've always enjoyed seeing a patient's reaction of themselves and their family members when we switch the hearing aids on and we take them outside the room and have a bit of a conversation outside and they think, oh my God, I can hear the cars going past and I can still hear, you know, birds chirping and all this, and you just think, wow, like, you know, that's kind of rewarding to me on that side.
And what's the most difficult part of your job? What's the other side of that coin? Is telling people that they probably should get some
I think it's aids. The hardest part is sort of getting people to understand that the hearing aids are there to support them, so they're not going to be perfect straight away,
right?
But we will get there slowly.
Because the hearing aids can be tuned, can't they?
They will be tuned, to your hearing test results,
So to make sure that the right sounds get boosted, not the irritating sounds.
Well, obviously, like ourselves, well, with myself, a normal hearing, you will pick up everything.
Yeah.
But your mind sort of knows what not to concentrate on. Whereas when you have a hearing loss, your mind forgets that. So you're having to retrain yourself to remember, oh, I don't need to hear them sounds and I want to hear these. So it's a bit of hard work, but it's there to help you.
Brilliant. So I mean, obviously, being an audiologist is a career path, and it's one that's going to be needed all the time, isn't it? It's not something that's going to be outdated by technology.
No.
We're always going to need advice about your hearing, just as you always need advice about eyes, and just as you're always going to need doctors, you're always going to need somebody to help you. So what advice would you give to somebody who's considering being an audiologist as their future career?
I would suggest that they do apply for some work experience. That could be in a hospital, that could be with an independent clinic of audiology, where they can just sit in and observe what we do. You know, it's not just a hearing test that we do.
Right.
There's all sorts of different paths they can take, working with children, balance issues, tinnitus. So there's all sorts of paths that the person can take. So I think observing and sitting in is the best option for you.
Right. And are there specialist qualifications in those different fields?
Yeah, so you would just gain them as you initially you'd be an audiologist. And then if you're more interested in a different pathway in audiology, then you can take, you know, further exams and further training to do that.
To be an audiologist, do you need to have a qualification, or tell me about that qualification and studying for it?
So, for myself, as an audiologist, I went to the University of Leeds and I did a degree, BSc audiology degree.
There was a degree course.
It's a
in
degree
audiology.
Audiology.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But this was going back 10 years ago, so I think now they're calling it a health foundation degree. They do it a lot of universities, but it is a 3-year degree to become an audiologist. Yes.
Right, and so there's a lot of study to go with it, but as you say, it's a very rewarding job.
It is.
Right, and presumably there is there's, as you say, specialisations. Is children a specialisation and elderly people a specialisation?
So elderly people sort of isn't as specialised as paediatrics, which is children, and that's mainly in the NHS that we work alongside children, as we test from sort of newborn children up until they're 16 years old in hospitals at the moment.
Well, a fascinating career path, and it's one that I'm very much enjoying chatting to you about. You're listening to the Hearing Health Hour here on Good Morning Marlow with my guest, Vicky Sardra from Help in Hearing here in Marlow. And we've got a question in for you, Vicky. A question has come from Jerry. Jerry doesn't say where he is. That's not important. He says it's a great show, and that is important. No, it's not really. He says it's a great show. Thank you very much for that, Jerry. And your question is, what would he get as from a private audiologist that he could not get from the NHS? So a question from Jerry. What can he get from a private audiologist that he can't get from the NHS? Yes.
That's a great question. So, as I have done NHS for 8 years, I can answer this question quite well.
So you've got experience of both?
Both, yeah. So the whole reason I moved across was just because working sort of for the independent private, you do get a lot more quality time with a person, so you can perform more diagnostic tests sort of to investigate the hearing loss and hearing further. You also aren't not on a waiting list, so you can come and see us at our next available appointment. And obviously the most important thing is that we are not limited to sort of one style or type of hearing aid as the NHS is. So if you're coming to a independent private, we have the latest technology available for you in all different styles and forms. So, you know, you have a lot more options.
Right, and I suppose with, as you mentioned, the time for waiting as well, getting into private audiologists, you can probably see them, you know, almost the same day or very soon anyway.
Very soon, yeah. So at times it can be on the same day, depending on appointments. But yeah, it's not like a long 6 week waiting list or anything like that.
Right, that's great. And I hope that answers your question, Jerry. If you have a follow-up question, please go back and send us another email. And we've got about 12 minutes or so in which I will put that question to my guest, Vicky. So you've just been talking about having a hearing test. I mean, what advice would you give to somebody who may be a bit nervous about having a hearing test? So they've never had it done before. You said that you put a camera in somebody's ear. I mean, is it painful?
Of course not. No.
What advice would you give anyway?
So obviously feeling nervous is very normal when you go to any appointment, really, isn't it? But obviously when you're doing something for the first time, it's expected. Hearing tests are pain-free. Simple,
totally pain-free, right.
Totally pain-free, and they are quite easy for you to do as well. So with the camera, it's not invasive. We just literally put it into the entrance of your ear so you can see what I'm seeing, and that's the ear canal and the eardrum. And then obviously the hearing test is quite similar to an eye test, where in the eye test, when you see a dot, you press a button. Here, when you hear a sound, you click a button. It's as simple as that.
Do you press different buttons depending on what the sound is?
Or? Nope, it's just one response button, and you will hear different types of sounds, but you just click that one response every time you hear a noise.
Right, so, and that's fairly easy. Presumably you're in a soundproof headphones.
Yep, with headphones.
So that you can't pick up extraneous sounds by mistake.
No.
But any other advice for somebody nervous about hearing tests?
I would always say, you know, initially you will feel a little bit nervous to come in, but it's always worth it so you can sort of have your hearing checked. We always recommend sort of over the age of 60, you should come every year actually to have your hearing tested.
Right.
And under 60s, you should come every 2 to 3 years to have your hearing checked.
I suppose it makes sense to go to the same audiologist because you can build up a history of somebody. So if I was to go to yourselves, for example, year after year after year after year, then you could say, well, this is what your hearing looked like then, because you can do a little graph, can't you, saying what your left ear is like, left ear hearing is like, and your right ear hearing, and you can then compare if the same time last year was like that, the same time last year was like, and you can walk through with them
definitely,
it's progress or whatever.
It is quite good sticking to the same audiologist because you build a relationship with them as well, which is really important. And obviously with the hearing test results, as you've just explained, if you do come every year, we can see if you have any deterioration as well over the years, which is really good.
Right. Would you normally send out a reminder saying to people you've seen before, say, you came for your hearing test 2 years ago, we haven't seen you since, and would you like to come back again?
We usually do ask our patients and clients just to remember annually to come and get checked up.
Right.
But yes, we can send out a reminder, if requested, to remind them to get their hearing checked as well every year.
Brilliant. Thanks, Vicky. I've got one more blast of questions, I think, with you after the next piece of music. And then, sadly, the Hearing Health Hour is over for this month. Jerry, if you've got any more questions, any follow-up questions, please get in touch. Anybody else? John emailed earlier on. If you've got any follow-up questions again, John, please get in touch. And the way to get in touch is drop us an email to studio@marlowfm.co.uk. Vicky, you've been a fascinating guest for me today, my first ever Hearing Health Hour, for our first ever. How can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about the services that you offer?
So we have a clinic in Marlow, Farnham Common and Henley, three clinics. And if you just come onto helpinhearing.co.uk, you can either email us or give us a call and we can have a chat with you there. I am working in the Marlow clinics. If you'd like to see me, just email us or telephone us on that number. So it's just helpinhearing.co.uk.
Vicky, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.